Brought to you by the Capital One Saver Card. With Saver, you earn unlimited 3% cash back on dining, entertainment, and at grocery stores. That's unlimited cash back on ordering takeout from home, or unlimited cash back on tickets to concerts and games. So grab a bite, grab a seat, and earn unlimited 3% cash back with the Saver Card. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Time to learn about everything happening during the world's biggest tournament. It's the World of Soccer with Glenn Davis.
Presented by Kaplan Sinus Relief. Breathe well, live well.
Now back to John and Lance inside the Huntington Bank Studios.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Time to bring it. Glenn, is it true that you were glad I wasn't here on Friday? Is that true? That's what Lance said.
We were lying. We just made that up.
What did they say?
They said you said you were glad I wasn't here.
He was saying, he goes, I'm going to ask Glenn a controversial question. And so he already said he was glad you weren't there on Friday.
John, this is fictitious.
Okay.
This malicious accusation. Never happened. You know that's not true.
Ask him your question.
All right, I want to ask you a question.
Ask me a question. See if Glenn's glad you're here today.
Argentinians being accused of race. Are you pro-racism or anti-racism?
There
Glenn?
You go. Classic John.
Which one? Dallas is anti-racism. We established that. Which side are you on the racism issue?
Buddy, come on. I'm here to talk about the World Cup final.
I told you.
You're
glad he wasn't there Friday. We had some good soccer talk.
I let you guys do all that stuff. That's not for me.
Okay. All right. I'm just asking. That's all. Just wanted to see which side you were on. Time to talk about that game. And listen. There's a lot of thuggery accusations being aimed at Argentina. At the end of the game with Paredes was ridiculous. I thought a couple of times during the game Paredes was ridiculous. Fernandez, all of that stuff, Glenn. Did they gain this reputation, or is this how they've been?
No, that's what was sad to me. They obviously didn't think they could play straight up with Spain, which is sad when you have the best player in the world on your team. But this was an absolute clinic put on by Spain when it comes to who was playing football and who wasn't. I also thought the Spanish emotional control was pretty amazing. And that's something for all of us to really latch onto is, you know, they didn't react to a lot of this stuff. I think we knew this was going to happen, not to the point that it did. That kind of made me sad. And, you know, we're talking about Messi's exit from the World Cup too, right? Like, that's sad to me that it went out like that with not him having a couple of good moments. And Argentina's focus, I think they went out looking silly. I hate to say this, but the clutching, the grabbing, the fouling was the focus. And then they were hoping for a magical moment from Leo Messi. But they couldn't go straight up with Spain. They didn't. They were dominated in every facet of the game. And I love Argentine soccer. Don't get me wrong. I loved what they did in the tournament, the comebacks and everything, but they took it way too far. And they were defanged, and they went out. They went out like France did. They were just absolutely suffocated. And even with that, though, then you're like, they nearly tie it up on a corner when they finally get up the field. This is a team that didn't have a shot over 90 minutes. Did not have a shot.
105. So, it actually extended all the way to 105 minutes with no shot.
Extra time, right?
You know, and I got to ask you about this. It's different teams.
I was
teams.
Really disappointed with Argentina, and you guys mentioned it. Fernandez, who was the star of the game before, Paredes, it was like a clown show. It's like, come on.
Yeah. That was
too much.
It was embarrassing the way they performed. And then Dell told us they turned their back on the when the awards were given to Spain. I mean, they did that. I didn't know that. I hadn't seen that. But I guess
much of that kind of stuff going on nowadays, and that's disrespectful to the game overall. But I mean, I think this is kind of the world we live in. People think they can act like that. It's not doing anything for their reputation. But I think Argentina loves kind of being the rebels of the football world. They got a lot to do now because they have a team built around some say is still the best player in the world in Leo Messi, And you're not going to be building a team around a singular person anymore, so we'll see where Argentina is going to go in the future.
Glenn Davis, brought to you by Kaplan Sinus Relief right here on ESPN 97.5. Every morning, right up until today, how great was that? Okay, first, was that the greatest defensive performance ever by a World Cup champion?
Well, I don't know the stats, but they only gave up one goal. Unai Simón had seven, the team had seven shutouts. It's an exercise in understanding that if you have the ball, you dictate games. Again, I really marveled at their emotional control because I was wondering about that because I figured Argentina was going to do everything they could to try and break their rhythm and get in their heads. The emotional control was pretty incredible. But, you know, the first place you go when you talk about defending is if you have the ball, an opponent can't score. It's as simple as that. I know it's pretty rudimentary, but that's what it's about. And it also means that you have to have very intelligent defenders that are, you know, if they're not involved in a lot of the buildup at times, which a lot of times they are, they have to be totally focused. I was so glad to see Pau Cabarsi get the best young player of the tournament award. That kid is a center back, 19 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's playing like he's 30 and has played 500 games, you know. Absolutely exceptional. I watched him very closely through the tournament, and he was one of those kids at Barcelona that was accelerated because they had the financial problems, and he was thrust into the starting lineup and never has come out, and it's benefited him greatly. But don't forget, this was a Barcelona-based team as well. There weren't any Real Madrid players on this, so there's probably some people in Madrid who were not hoping that Spain would win the title, if you want to really believe that or not.
That's crazy. There's so many things we just don't consider if we're not full-time soccer watchers from, you know, internationally. I'm just thinking Spain is happy, and that's and I know there were parties in Madrid. I saw some videos of big parties in Madrid, but there are considerations for, you know, for clubs, because Barcelona and Real Madrid, I mean, those are lives. Like those are lifestyles. Those are
well, teams. John's a Madrid fan.
John? Yeah.
Well, look at their line. Look at the stars that Real Madrid and Barcelona still wins. I mean, all of the stars that they got on that team. And Barcelona, I mean, and they play the same style, right, Glenn? So this style is everybody going to try to adapt this now? What Spain does?
It's not going to be easy to replicate this because it has to start at a very young age, and that's what it starts with in Spain. Spain's a smaller country. They have a real, real ability to put together a curriculum for young soccer players that build in these principles very, very early, and it extends into their careers as they get into their teens and ultimately to the national team. So a lot of this stuff is ingrained in them. I mean, the confidence on the ball, you know, people are saying, this is boring. Well, it's not boring if you have the ball. You know what's boring? Is a team that's fouling, sitting deep and defending. That's what's boring. Get up and play. And they couldn't do it, and I don't think Argentina felt that they could do it. But just back to that with Spain, it's a lot easier to implement ideology when it comes to soccer in a country like this where the sport is primarily number one. Here in the U.S., everybody does their own thing. So that's why we're constantly going, well, what type of style do we play? I think we made a little tick up the ladder with Pochettino, you know, and that performance in the first game against Paraguay where we didn't sit back in some of the early round games and we tried to take the game to opponents. And I thought that was a positive. But, you know, to watch these guys play, the emotional control, the angles they create off the ball, this is all fascinating stuff. And they deserve to win. And by the way, they're still young, so they ain't going away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to ask you a strategic question about or I guess a style question about Spain. You know, a lot of teams, it's a given when they get at a certain angle, and even those deep set pieces from that are a little deeper on the sideline where they drive it into the box, which actually is a pretty, and you get everyone racing there for the header. That's actually become a pretty. I realize, well, that's a dangerous. That's a dangerous set piece there. Spain.
And crosses over?
Yeah, with a big driving deep crossers into the box where they're back behind the action. But Spain really doesn't look for many crossers in the air. Like, that's just not – they did everything they try to play, most of it yesterday. And I've noticed throughout the – throughout is that normal that you'll have teams that really want to exploit, you know, their just I don't know how else to explain it, on the ground? They just they're not a very aerial based team at all.
Yeah, they like it on the ground. A lot of their cutbacks are on the ground, the trailing runners. Lamine Yamal, even though I thought Tagliafico and a combination of guys defended him pretty well, credit to him because he kept pushing and he did get behind a couple of times and got some dangerous crosses in and still was affecting the game. But, yeah, I mean, that's part of it, you know, and you get crosses in on the ground and, you know, your box organization and the timing of runs, you know, we all watch the game and we're like, oh, if only that guy made a far post run or a near post run. You know, it's easy from the outside.
Glenn Davis brought to you by Kaplan Sinus Relief. Big winners this World Cup. It's over now, but America won. I thought America won, Glenn. I thought we showed well. I thought Houston showed really, really well. We were great in this World Cup. I thought Erling Haaland, he probably won a lot. He probably is going to get – he's a universal superstar now. Mbappe was the golden boot, right? He's got more goals than anybody ever at a World Cup. So good on him, although France, you know, had that game. And who else showed really well for you, Glenn?
Well, like I said, I like Pau Cabarsi. I like some of these other storylines, like Vizinha with Cabo Verde. You know, Eloy Room, who's been on my show with Curaçao, set a World Cup record for saves in a game. We have to remember this is the exit of Messi, the exit of Ronaldo, the exit of Luka Modric, the exit of Kevin De Bruyne, all these great guys that we've all been able to enjoy the way they play the game, and I know I'm missing a bunch of them. But that to me is the big thing. That's why yesterday was a little, you know, I was kind of sad watching the game and seeing Messi go out like this, just based on the way they decided to approach the game and the fact that they figured they had to play this way and go a little overboard with that. Reminds you how good Spain is, actually. But I was sad seeing Messi kind of go out like that. If Argentina had played a game in which Messi had some brilliant moments and, you know, left that sort of indelible thing in our minds in the final, that would have been nice, but didn't happen. But, you know, what a remarkable player and what a remarkable World Cup and late show stuff that Messi's put on for us. But, yeah, that's it. I like this. Like I told you, I like Pau Cabarsi, and I'm glad he got the best young player of the tournament.
Best young player of the tournament on the team with Lamine Yamal is pretty impressive.
Yeah, and, you know, the other thing is, like, a lot of these awards, we all know how these awards work, right? Like, sometimes, you know, it's, well, whoever had the most goals, you know, he was the best player, whatever. But it's nice to see people like, well, Rodri got the Golden Ball. He also won the Ballon d'Or, but he's not a goal scorer. He's the brains of an operation. So that was great to see. It's great to see Pau Cabarsi, a center back who plays the game very maturely for his age, get it. So I like the fact that, you know, we're starting to recognize people other than just simply the goal scorers and whoever's got the most social media attendance.
Right. Well, and speaking of goals, Jude Bellingham did a hell of a lot for himself, although he's on Real Madrid, another Real Madrid guy. That, you know, just showed out this World Cup. But it was. We Americanized it maybe a little bit too much. The halftime, Glenn.
Well, the quick retort to that is, you know, you have to just look at the sport overall and where it's going. I think you said it right. The United States is A plus at running events. There was no security issues, which I think was a big concern in the modern world right now. These games ran like clockwork. The ones that I was at in person, just remarkable to watch it run. You know, every city, it sounds like, did fantastic. People came over here and realized a lot of things that they didn't know, that, you know, we're a very welcoming country, and we care about others, despite, you know, everybody who wants to claim the other way. And this was a winner. It's going to be a winner in a lot of ways. There's certain things, I think, that maybe are scratching at the surface of the sacredness of the World Cup, but I don't know how you're going to stop that. You know, expansion, water breaks and things like this, hydration breaks, sorry. I'm still kind of just, you know, accessing all the information and thinking about the World Cup now. I'm a little bit depressed, honestly. but I think all in all, it was a spectacular show. You know, I could have done without seeing Madonna. Sorry.
I'm with you.
20 years ago, maybe, but no. Yeah. I didn't need that. That was a bad image in my mind. So,
But Shakira made up for it.
On the field.
Shakira made up for it.
Shakira saved that whole show. By the way, whoever this guy in Coldplay is who put this together, come on. You got to do better than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was...
seriously. There's got to be some better hook in there than that. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe I'm just, you know... Maybe I'm hoping Led Zeppelin was going to jump out there. I don't know. Yeah.
What do you think of, because it was a big topic of conversation, what did you think of a third-place game, whether or not it should still be played, and how about that game?
Yeah, that was pretty crazy. Third-place games are unpredictable. I mean, listen, you know, it was definitely a lot of loose defending, so, it was good for Mbappe, because Mbappe piled on the goals and wins the golden boot. So I don't know. I think it was fun for people. I don't think it hurt. It's not the norm, but there was definitely a lot of minds wandering in that game.
Yeah, it was like an NBA All-Star game. Let's just score.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Alexi Lawless, it was funny because I wasn't sure how I felt about it. I mean, it was entertaining. It wasn't really a real match in some regards, but Alexi Lawless said, you know, the first two people on the set were talking about what a great match it was, and the commentators, well, I think it was Darren Fletcher was saying that and was all excited about it. And there was a lot of goals, and I mean, all the American, like, former NFL players, like, if it always looked like this, I would always watch. And Alexi Lawless said something I thought was actually accurate. He said that was either the best game of the World Cup, depending on how you view soccer, or it was the biggest farce of the World Cup, depending on how you view soccer. And I thought that was a fair comment. No matter which side you fall on, I thought that was
a good comment. But I got some advice for you, Lance.
Yeah.
And it includes me. Stop listening to commentators.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm just kidding.
Except us.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, you could shape that any way you want. I mean, yeah, I don't know. That's great. Yeah, a lot of goals. It's a third place game. The history of third place games very strange in World Cup history, and a lot of these guys wish they were home with their families.
I compared it to a last preseason game before the NFL season starts up. You're just like, let's just get this done.
Yeah. You were just at the pinnacle of trying to make history, and now they're telling you to go play a third place game. I mean, where would you be mentally? I mean, honestly, you were this close to getting to a World Cup final, and now you're.
Well, and if that puts you over the top for the goal scoring for the Golden Boot, then it's the other guys are like.
Oh, Mbappe had a lot of incentive in that third place game personally.
Yep. Oh yeah,
yeah. Personally, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He's the leading scorer of all time.
He wins the Golden Boot, and there you go. Yep. The all-time leading scorer in the history of the World Cup.
How about that? Kylian Mbappe. That was fun, and it was fun having you on every morning, Glenn. It's been great. You have to put up with some stuff. The questions that Lance asks sometimes.
I ask good soccer stuff.
Okay.
You're the hooligan here.
So it's a problem. So he's the problem. Lance is the problem. Now found out Lance is the problem on this show.
No, we had a great conversation on Thursday and Friday with me, Dylan, and Glenn Davis. And then this happened today.
Let
me just say this. You guys were exceptional. I do know you guys respect soccer a lot. It's another reason why anybody who listens to my show should be listening to John, Lance, and Dell.
And vice versa.
Yes.
And you guys did a great job. I've totally enjoyed this. To get up in the morning and make a little coffee and start thinking about the games and then come on with you guys has been a great way to start the day. And I don't know what I'm going to do now.
Yeah,
so if anybody out there has anything for me to do, let me know.
What is it, postpartum depression or whatever? What is
yeah,
it, postpartum? What is it?
Postpartum, yeah, but that's, so, there's no yeah. birth.
I mean, you're having, yeah, that's, well.
You, got a good you guys got a good therapist?
Yeah, yeah, I will say it was, you know, here's where you wish the World Cup was once every 2 years. Everyone says that after the 4 year span, but you have the Euros coming up. You're going to have CONCACAF. You'll have
Lance. I got to stop you. No 2 year World Cup.
Please, no, I know.
Don't
I know.
Even mention that ever again. I know. When I come to the studio.
No, you hear it. You hear people make that comment, but it's,
I know.
You've got Euros. You've got the build up, and frankly, you need the build up to reload. But it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun for the host country too.
Yeah, oh, it was great.
Host country killed it.
Host country
the U.S. did
kill.
An amazing job on this thing. I would just end with this, that the people of Houston, for us locally here, everybody who plays, coaches, referees, administrators, people that buy tickets to go to games over all the years, this was your World Cup. You brought it here, and I hope everybody enjoyed it immensely.
That was great. Great, great, great. Glenn, as always, man, thank you, Doc Kaplan, for sponsoring Glenn every morning right here
yes,
on the show.
Thank you, Dr. Kaplan. I didn't even mention Dr. Kaplan the whole time. So thank you, Dr. Kaplan, and we appreciate it. I think the soccer fans appreciate it too.
Yep. I think so too. It was great. It was great to have you on every morning. We're going to miss you. But keep on listening. Soccer matters. Soccer matters, Glenn Davis. Are you on, what is it now, one or two nights? How often are you on now? See here?
Destination 2026. So we'll go with the Wednesday show through the end of the month, and then that's probably it for that show. But I'm going to try to keep it alive.
Okay, that's great. Okay, Wednesday night. Keep on listening. Soccer Matters right here. Glenn Davis every Wednesday night. Glenn, appreciate it, man. As always, great stuff. Glenn, we're big fans. Glenn Davis right here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Let's take a quick break here. I want to talk about, well, let's talk about golf. Let's talk about East River 9. Let's talk about what East River 9 does for you. And if you're a company, get a corporate membership like we have. We can go anytime to East River 9. We can take a client there, okay? Well, how great is that? Now, client says, well, I can't go play golf with you because it's 4 hours. Well, it's not 4 hours. I can't go play golf with you because it's in the middle of the day because I'm working. You can go at night. It's a lighted golf course. So it's only about an hour and a half. You go and you have beers in the bar and restaurant. They have great, really, really good food. You watch all your games there. They got giant TV. They got a giant outside TV that you can watch during the day. It's amazing. But they've also got TVs throughout the entire bar. They've got pickleball if you want to play pickleball instead. If you want to just hit the driving range, you can do that too. I think it's the best view that we have of the city. It's just gorgeous, especially at night. It is the best view that we have of the city. You're looking for a great place to entertain clients or just go and have fun. EastRiver9.com, EastRiver9.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Well.
Listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, I know you guys, before the World Cup final, I know you both were watching Ryan Fox win the Open Championship.
I did. We were in this pub at 11:45. Yeah, we're watching the whole thing down the stretch. What a great 18 he had. I mean, three great shots.
And how about the way he just steps up and hits it?
So that was the crazy part to me is you want to talk about study long, study wrong. His putt, hold on a second. His putt, he just got up. He took one look. He glanced once left and just hit it. I was like, I've never seen anyone hit it that fast on a putt like that.
Well, and it's to win the Open, to be the champion golfer of the year. And they said it was 22 seconds, although I thought they started the clock before – Sam Burns had even finished his, but they said 22 seconds, and it was probably the greatest, you know, and that would have been, with any other golfer on this tour, it would have been a minute and a half before he hit it. But he stepped up and just said, F it, this is what I'm, and he hit the same thing he did in the fairway. He just stepped up and hit it and just goes, he was 170 some out, 177 out. He just said, this is what I'm going to do, put it that close, and then made the putt. Just awesome to see.
He just wasn't thinking. He just clearly just wasn't thinking. He was just reacting, which is what you want to do in sports. Yep.
So Colin Montgomery was, he had, now, not a lot of people don't want, like Colin Montgomery, but he couldn't have been, had a better quote. He was like, it literally took 5 hours and 40 minutes for guys to finish a round today. Okay. Well, I think it might have been Saturday or Friday, whatever day it was. And he was like, you know, Lee Trevino played here under 4 hours and won. He was 14 under. I mean, it's just ridiculous the way that these guys play. And I think Ryan Fox, you know, showed you can win, you can be really, really good without doing all of the crap that these guys. And it's one of the reasons that golf isn't as really popular is because it takes so damn long. So Ryan Fox, congratulations. Cam Young was spectacular. He's waiting for everybody to come in. He shot a 64, and he was at 9 under, and everybody went up and then dropped back, went up, dropped back. Ryan Fox went up and then hit the putt on 18 to win it. So he is the champion golfer of the year. If you never heard of Ryan Fox, no worries, because he's not a household name, but he really enjoyed the way that he played. He played really, really, really well. Really well. So we had that yesterday as well. Trade in the NBA. Trade in the NBA yesterday. Lou Dort goes in a three-team trade. Lou Dort goes to the Hawks. Zachary Risacher?
Yeah.
Risacher goes to the Mavs. Risacher.
He was formerly, what, the second player in that draft? Been a big disappointment.
He goes to the Mavs. And the Oklahoma City Thunder, I think they said they saved $176 million. And they got 3 second-rounders. Now they got a stockpile of second-round picks, which you can turn into a great player. The Rockets, Bruce Thornton, thank you. You can turn those second-rounders into great. Plus, they got a trade exception, a big trade exception out of the deal. Instead of just letting Lou Dort walk, they ended up signing him and then trading him and getting a lot and getting a bunch in return. So that's
The cap relief that they wanted to avoid the apron. And they got some seconds. I mean, you know, this is what happens when you pay all your top. Jalen Williams, you pay Jalen, you pay SGA, you pay Chet. You know, you have to, guys have to go. It's what's going to happen with the Houston Texans. When this is why we make a big deal about the contract. Some of you probably get tired of us talking about CJ contract. It's just, we have to talk about that because once Will Anderson's paycheck starts kicking in, once Stingley's paycheck starts kicking in, the highest numbers, which we're not even there, once you have the paycheck for Kamari Laster kicking in, you're not going to be able to afford everybody. Guys are going to have to walk. So, you know, Kalen Bullock, we'll see if you're able to keep him full-time. We'll see. It has an impact. There's no question. We see it with the Astros. Once guys, you no longer have club control, which is what the Texans have with C.J. Stroud, you get to higher numbers, and then guys have to leave. It's just the way it is. You can't fit everyone. Not everyone can get paid. And that's an example there in Oklahoma City. So once C.J. gets his contract, some guys are just going to have to go. That's just the way it is. You just have to draft and have cheaper rookie contract guys. It's the only way to make it work.
Yeah. I mean, and maybe
– other teams have to do the same thing, you know. It's just the way it is.
How big a loss is Lou Dort for them?
I think they can fade it. They're deep enough. Yeah. He did give them toughness and defense, but they're younger and more athletic than Lou Dort at different positions. I think they'll be fine.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not even worried about Oklahoma City.
I'm not worried about their Oklahoma City's roster.
That they picked up more picks and they saved money and they got on a trade exception.
Yeah.
They just do things too smart.
I know.
I mean, wouldn't it be great if they didn't?
I know. There's some people who believe
they were stupid.
Well, they're right now the way Dana Brown is looked at, and then for some people the way Rafael Stone is looked at. There's some people who really want Rafael Stone gone. I'm like, I'm not there yet.
No, me either.
On him, but I know a lot of people are, and they look at Houston's GM. You know, the three GMs, they're really down on at least two of them. That's for sure.
Well,
one of them will be gone before you know it. Him and a spot are done.
Well, a spot, yeah. I mean, as far as the three managers go, a spot is certainly the one that's catching the most, and rightfully so. And you know what?
Ime's on his heels.
If they don't advance past the first round again next year, you got to look at Ime and the way he does
it. Ime's taking crap, but I think it, in a weird way, you know, people like to – the thing with sports fans we've seen over the years is you like to have one guy circled. Like, one guy's the enemy, and if you can get rid of that one person, everything's going to be fine. So you got to fix, is it a pitcher? Is it a quarterback? Is it a general manager? Is it a head coach? Like, you pick the guy that is the enemy of the state. And it's not a player right now, and it's not Ime, although Ime still catches it. It's Rafael Stone. I've noticed, this is what I've noticed, is that Rafael Stone, they've decided, is enemy of the state. And they being, you know, the internet, I guess, Twitter. Rafael Stone is the bad guy. It's rarely one. You're rarely one move away. That's usually just, it's for simplicity. It gives you more hope that if a change is made. The reality is you're so much further. Right now, the head coach is not doing a great job. I think Stone is, I think Stone's done okay. I think Ime's offense is a bigger problem. I think the construction of the roster right now, which you could say is, to me, that move for Kevin Durant was a Fertitta move. There's no way the general manager does that, and Fertitta's go, I guess. I mean, you do what you want to do. We wouldn't have done that, but I guess so, if you want to do that. No, you make a move like that. That comes from ownership, at least gives their blessing, and in some cases, like with Justin Verlander, they make that move.
Yeah,
they're the ones who say, I want this done. We want this done. And then you figure out the way to get it done. So,
I don't know that losing Lou Dort it gets the Rockets any closer. But it was a trade in the NBA. Dal, did you combine or we got a break here? Break. Okay. 713-780-3776. Who wants to get in? You're more than welcome to hang with us here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
Listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So, DJ Bienname wrote a piece this weekend. Texans taking a different approach to alleviate postseason woes. And it was all there was a lot of about the end of the first half against Kansas City 2 years ago. The end of the first half against New England this past season and in the playoffs, and how they had blunders that, you know, they could have pulled, but they just weren't disciplined enough. They had a hold. They had, obviously CJ threw his fourth interception, which was, you know, that really, really put a damper on the first half, what with four interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
So, but this is what D'Amico said. The most improvement I've seen from our team is the pre-snap communication. Offensively, defensively, communication has been lights out. We're way ahead of, again, where we've been in the past because of that communication. Us just playing smart, being a smarter football team, and understanding situations better. I feel like we're in a really good place right now. Isn't that going to happen naturally in the second year of an offensive coordinator?
Yeah, I would think so. But, yeah. I mean, you still have to get the calls in quicker. And that's on Kaylee.
Yeah,
I mean, you got to get the calls in quicker. You can't have these rushing up there, 5-yard penalties. Just get the calls in earlier. And I think that's what D'Amico's probably talking about. If I had to guess.
Well, and D'Amico said it too. Guys are just able to handle more because it's the second year of our offense, fourth year in our defense. It's a given, but it's also the veterans that we have, the leaders that we have at each every position, allows me to see it, step back as a head coach, and we just need to keep fine-tuning the details. Not necessarily every period is a competitive get-after-it period. It's more of a mental check, and that's what we're working on this offseason, and we'll continue to develop that in training camp. I really believe that. I mean, physically, they are who they are, and they're going to be a great defensive team because of their physicality. But the more you know, the smarter you are, the more you're in the defense and offense, the more natural it's going to become. And maybe those mental mistakes. Remember just a couple, 3 years ago, holy crap, the pre-snap penalties.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I mean, if you can eliminate those, you stop shooting yourself in the foot. You know how many more points you get, whether it be it you took yourself out of field goal range or you took yourself out of, you know, being able to score a touchdown. I mean, there's so much to that that if you are just smarter, better, you just know where you're supposed to be at all times, and you, it's, you know, pre-snap, you take those mistakes out. I mean, you're just going to be, it's that much, because there's that, in the NFL, how many games are 7 points or less or whatever, one-score games that you win or lose?
Yeah, it's plus or minus 3 games a year, and sometimes higher. Sometimes as many as 5 games a year that can swing one way or another.
What about Kansas City when they won? How many they one-score games
so
they won?
So many swung in their direction.
Yeah.
And, John, you remember the 2010 year before the Texans took off in 11 and 12? They had, like, they lost at the end of a game on a Hail Mary to Jacksonville. They had something happen late against the Jets. Like, they found ways to lose left and right. They finished 6-10, and they really struggled at the end of the year to win games because they were just screwing them up. And maybe they started bad and then they played better at the end. But there were just little things in that season that were it turned them from being a 9-win season, 9-7, into a 6-10 season. And then those things kind of evened themselves out the next year, and they ended up winning the division. And then they won the division the next year as well. So I think they won a division both years. I know they were in the playoffs. I don't know if they beat the Colts in the division or not. But, yeah, man, those are huge. Being able to not make those pre-snap, those holding penalties, making mistakes on third down where you knock yourself out of field goal range because you had a holding penalty or a sack. Or – you know, having it 3rd and 2 and then somebody jumps and all of a sudden it's 3rd and 7 and you end up having to instead of continuing the drive for potentially a touchdown, you settle for a field goal. These things happen all the time to the Texans. They still to this day happen. They happen all the freaking time. And if you can eliminate that, that's when you become, you know, potentially an elite team, I guess. I mean, CJ has to, we always do the thing, CJ has to play better, but it's true. Like the Texans aren't that far away from being a high level team. What's missing is consistency and the dumb stuff going away.
Yeah, the dumb stuff. Like throwing the ball to the other team a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that got to get rid of that and pre-snap penalties, false starts, you know, obvious holds in, you know, that are. Well, I mean, I understand sometimes protecting your quarterback when you've been beat, but
right.
You know, you just can't keep shooting yourself in the foot. You can't. You got to stop. You got to stop. And Nick said it too. He said right after the game. I mean, you just look turnovers. Win the turnover battle, and you probably win the game. It's not rocket science. It's, you know, just play better than the other team. Just take care of the ball better than the other team, and we'll see. You know, talking about the physicality of the defense, the offense has got to get some of that. I mean, if you've got a defense like that, you know, chances are your offense is going to be built much the same way,
mm-hmm.
but it's not. It hasn't been that way with the Texans.
Right.
It hasn't been that way.
Mm-mm.
If you're going to be that physical defensively, be that physical offensively as well. Run the ball down their throat.
Right.
And maybe that happens this year. We'll see.
We'll see. I mean, that's clearly the game plan. Everything they've done personnel-wise, everything D'Amico Ryans has said over the last 2 years at the Combine, where coaches are the most honest about who they are and what they are. They've got media from around the country there. It's always about developing that mentality and that certain toughness. And this is – finally, I think they have those types of guys on offense that they plugged in. It looks like they've finally gotten there, so we'll see.
Yeah. Right. All right, 713-780-3776 to get in with us here on ESPN 97.5. You're more than welcome to do that. You want to talk Texans? You want to talk Astros? We'll talk about the Astros on the other side. In case you missed it, we've talked about him in the first segment. We haven't touched on him again. We'll do that on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5. Right now, though, we're talking about Houston Powder Coaters, the very best, the very best. You heard, I don't know if you've heard on this show before, but Robin explained that the world's best show came to Houston and interviewed Houston Powder Coaters about being the best powder coaters in the world. Now, I've been giving them, you know, obviously been talking about them and how good they are and what, but the best in the world? Holy crap. That is something. Okay, I didn't know they were that good. I had no idea Houston Powder Coaters was the best in the world. I mean, I know they're the best in the city of Houston. I know that they will pick it up and deliver it absolutely free. I know that the primping and priming that they do is second to none. I know that you have been responding, because Robin says our listeners are great. Okay, so you guys have been sending in your patio furniture, or your car parts, or your boats, or your trailers, or whatever it is that you need powder coated. If you buy some patio furniture new, get it powder coated before you put it out, because this weather is going to kill that furniture in a hurry, but not if it's powder coated. HoustonPowderCoaters.com. You're looking for the biggest and the best. There's a reason that they are. It's because they do the best work. HoustonPowderCoaters.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
In the Ferrari or Jaguar, switching four lanes, top down, screaming out money in the bank.
Bubble hard in the double law, flash the rings with the window crack, holla back, money in the bank.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 975-713-780-3776 is the number. Whatever you want to talk about. And this is something that I didn't think we'd talk about today, but Julian, is it Julian? Wants to get in here?
Yeah.
Yeah, Julian wants to get in here. Hey, Julian, how are you?
Yeah, man, I'm sorry. I just saw the story because I know you guys had talked about it a while back. Just Matt Miller thing, he got a bad accident. Arm had to get amputated. And then this weekend, I see this story that apparently dude's been investigated being like a serial scammer, and it really draws into question the accident, everything that went on. I was just kind of curious. I know he's like an associate of Lance's to some degree, and I was just kind of curious, since y'all talked about it before, what you thought about it, if you'd seen the story. It just kind of piqued my interest, and I didn't really know much about it, but I was curious if you guys had seen it.
Yeah. They had a GoFundMe and they took it down after the accusations. He's been accused of fraud, Matt Miller, taking money from people and not performing. I mean, it's a bad story.
It came out. Look, on my kids, I had never heard of any of this stuff. And apparently it was, like, I don't spend a lot of time on Reddit at all. Apparently there were some people on Reddit who kind of got together and said, yeah, I was scammed with, I guess he ran a bunch of fantasy. This is what he's accused of. Okay, let's start. Matt Miller is an NFL draft analyst, formerly of Bleacher Report when he was first coming up, and then he was brought over to ESPN, and he's been on ESPN. Matt's been good to me over the years. I've known him a little bit, not like, wouldn't call me friends with him. He's an acquaintance, and he's always been really good to me. He's pushed people towards some of my work that I've done, especially when I was first coming up, had told his followers to follow me, stuff like that. So it was very beneficial to me. I don't really, and we've talked like at the combine, stuff like that, at Senior Bowl, if I'd see him. Don't really know him beyond that too well, other than just, you know, in our draft circles, if we see each other wherever we are, or commenting back and forth on Twitter. So I don't really know anything about him. I will say this. Okay, so the story is, Matt was in this horrific accident. I hadn't heard anything about it. And then from his account said, hey, this is Matt. Just want to give you a heads up, an update on what's going on. It's probably done by his wife or whoever, because he was in the hospital. Multiple broken bones, shattered bones, tore this and that. This crash was so bad that he had to have his arm amputated. And they were going to retrofit him. They're going to fit him with a prosthetic. And he's talked about all along the way. And I was like, oh, my God, this is horrific. Almost immediately as that information was breaking, there were people saying, yeah, well, you all, I don't feel bad for him. This guy's been scamming people, taking people's money for years. And I'm like, holy crap, this is kind of, I don't, first of all, I don't know if any of this is true, and you're saying this on the heels of him having his arm amputated and being a wreck that's put him in the hospital. It seemed like poor form. That's the first thing I thought of. But it kept getting more and more stuff came out. More and more stuff came out that people said, yeah, yeah, he didn't pay. I paid for a scouting session, and he never, you know, he never had that for me. And other people, I was in fantasy leagues and never got paid. So never all this.
He ran, he hosted 91 leagues last year, and he had 26 complaints against him that he didn't pay out. He was stealing buy-ins from managers and not paying out league
winners. That's what is alleged.
It's alleged.
Yeah.
And that he had access to around $100,000 in fees last year.
Now I'm going to tell you something. This is kind of made me think. So I told another guy I was talking to who told me he had heard from someone at the Combine like in 24 that there was this reputation about Matt. And he said he didn't do anything with it. He just kind of sat out. He didn't tell other people. But he had heard from somebody at the Combine who was a guy who, you know, was in fantasy football but also works on draft stuff. And I guess Matt had this reputation, which never got to me. I'd never heard any of it. But I will say this. So you guys use Venmo. And, you know, on Venmo, when you pay, it shows up. When you pay somebody or get paid, your friends, you know, anyone who's mm-hmm. in your contact list, mm-hmm. it shows up. So it says this person paid this person. And what for? This person paid this person, and you put what for. And I remember it was probably 2022, 2023. I noticed there was this slew of, like, people paying Matt Miller. And you don't see what the amount is. And it said Coats for Kids or something to that regard, Coats for Kids or whatever the case may be. And I thought, man, this is a really good dude. Like, I can't, you know, he's using his platform for this. That's awesome. Then I saw another one for, like, laptops for troops, then something else for signed helmets. Like, if you're putting money in for a raffle and you can win an autographed helmet and the money would go to charity that he collected. And the first thing on my mind was, wow, I mean, this guy does a lot of charity stuff. And I don't do, like, I should probably do more. I really don't do enough. I can't believe. And then I start thinking, man, he has a ton of, like, how does he fit this into his, to manage all this stuff, the money that's coming in, and you got to pay, get charity stuff done, and you got to make sure that you have a 501c, because, you know, you don't want to be responsible for all the money coming in tax-wise. I'm thinking, man, this is a lot he's doing. Like, I'm a piece of crap. I'm not doing any of this kind of stuff. I mean, I do things here and there. And it wasn't until all this came down where I realized, hey, was he really giving coats to kids? Was that money all really? Because all the charity stuff that I saw pop up in Venmo, every time I made a Venmo something, I'd see Matt Miller stuff. It kind of took on a different meaning for me in 2026 after I heard all this stuff. So he has stepped away from ESPN. He had a comment that I'm stepping away. And never has he addressed any of this stuff. ESPN has never addressed any of this stuff.
No.
It clearly has made its way to ESPN. It's impossible for it not to. I think somebody picked up, maybe The Athletic or somebody picked up on this information and wrote an article. He stepped away, said for health reasons, which would make sense. But, man, these are heavy accusations. If you are literally, I mean, it's fraud. If all this is true. Yeah. So it's a lot for you to have an accident that changes your life fundamentally for the rest of. And there have been people who said, oh, well, you know, who have accused him saying this is, I've seen the dash cam video where he kind of swerves into the other person's lane. I think it was a big truck, actually.
Yeah.
That had the dash
cam.
My
God, did you see his car afterwards?
I saw his car. And
holy crap.
He didn't hit head on with the car. It was not a head on collision. But he hit, you know, the truck kind of swerved
smashed.
A little bit.
I'm surprised he's alive.
They say it's a miracle he's alive.
Yeah.
And there are some people who, you know, their belief is that he knew people were on to him, that there was a report, that he knew that reporters were coming and this stuff was coming out, and, you know, that was an act of you know.
No, that's awful.
Yeah, and that's what hopefully. People like yeah. to. And I don't know any of that stuff. I have no idea. Now, he did. You know, he did drift into the other person's lane. I can't remember if they said
the dash cam video, he was certainly in the other lane.
Yeah, yeah, he was responsible.
Yeah. All right, we were going to talk Astros. We'll do that on the other side. Matt Miller hijacked our segment there, but we will do that on the other side for you right here on ESPN 97.5. You got any questions or thoughts, you're more than welcome. Not thoughts. You don't bring thoughts
to
the show.
I mean, let's not be hasty.
Well, I mean, Eric does all the time, but
I'm not going to call that one woman a thought.
Well, I don't know how many women he brings to the show. We don't know. You don't know.
I don't. That's why
Tom brings a bunch of thoughts to the show.
He brings his thoughts on thoughts.
Right.
But he doesn't actually bring any thoughts.
No. Well, I guess you're right. I don't want to stop if a thought wants to get in. You're more than welcome.
Or just I don't know that I want to call a woman who calls in that. If she wants to identify as that, that's up to her.
That's fine. 713-780-3776.
If you want to identify
for all you thoughts out there,
713-780. I'm not here to tell people how they should feel about themselves.
THOT, that hoe over there. If you want to identify that way, give us a shout.
If you want to identify, I'm not going to tell people how to identify.
That's not what I'm here for. I don't tell people what to do.
Yep. 713-780-3776.
Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This message is brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Venture X offers the premium benefits you expect, like a $300 annual Capital One travel credit for less than you expect. Elevate your earn with unlimited double miles on every purchase, bringing you one step closer to your next dream destination. Plus, enjoy access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. The Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.